أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. وقوله تعالى: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Dear brothers, Allah Azza wa Jal has created us for a reason, and the reason is that we solely worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we make all of our ibadah only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's worship? Worship is ismun jami, is a comprehensive term, لِكُلِّ مَا يُحِبُهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَى, which everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with. من الأقوال والأعمال ظاهرة وباطنة, from your sayings and your actions, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with, those of your heart and those upon your limbs. So we know from this, like Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, that worship is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and is pleased with. And Allah has said that I have created you so that you can worship me. A part of worship is something known as al-ittiba', to follow Allah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahaba. Al-ilmu ma qala Allah wa qala Rasul wa qala Sahaba. Knowledge, al-Islam, is built upon this foundation, that we follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Sahaba. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, اتَّبِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Make ittiba, follow that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has said down. What's that? That's the Quran and the Sunnah. And who has understood that? The Sahaba. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا. If you believe and they believe, who's they in this ayah? The Sahaba. Allah will guide you. وَمِنْ شَاكِكِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيْنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. That whoever takes a path other than the path of the mu'mineen, the believers. Who's the believers in this ayah? The Sahaba. So number one, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as part of that worship, we make ittiba, we follow that which has been revealed. What's been revealed? The Quran and the Sunnah. This is why Rasulullah said, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ أَمْرَيْنِ لَنْ تَذِلُّ مَا تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةَ رَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I am leaving for you two things behind. This is one of his farewell advice, you could say. I am leaving for you my book and my sunnah. My book and my sunnah. The only way you're going to understand the book and the sunnah is how the Sahaba understood it. This is the nature of our call. This is why we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make ittiba of Allah, his Rasul, how the Sahaba understood it. And if you use your own intellect over that of how the Sahaba understood, this is a path that you're taking other than the path of the believers. For example, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates in the hadith sahih that when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do mas'al al-khufayn, he would wipe over his socks, he would wipe on the top of his socks. But it's not the top of your socks which are dirty, you're walking on the bottom of your socks. Your feet are touching the ground. Your mind should say to you, wipe at the bottom. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba is narrating this, and this is how they acted upon this. They wipe on the top. So what do? سَمِعْنَا وَعْتَعْنَا. We hear what Allah, his Rasul, has said. We look at how the Sahaba have implemented it, and we follow it. And I say again, وَمَنْ يُشَاكِكِ الرَّسُولُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيِّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The one who takes a path other than the path of the believers, meaning the Sahaba. So in essence, all of our worship, whether it's worship of the heart or whether it's worship in action, should be restricted to the Quran and the Sunnah with how the Sahaba understood it. If you go outside of the understanding of the Sahaba, this is a path which we have chosen other than the path of the believers. What is this ittiba? And how did the Sahaba implement it? They were very firm, brothers. Very, very firm and very strict on this concept of al-ittiba, following. And they were so strict that the people, if you look at it today, if you look at the books of hadith, if you look at the Sahaba Sitta, if you look at the books outside the Sahaba Sitta, you will see that they were so strict when it came to following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, do you think that when they used to say, Fida ummi wa abi ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my life, yani my being, is sacrificed for you. Do you think this is a statement which is easy? This statement has implications. How do they implement it, Tiba? So many examples from the Hadith, brothers. The Sahaba were not people just like me and you, general people like this. No. They had the Rasul amongst them. They used to see the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to wait outside of the house of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No business. Hungry. Why? Waiting to see the ittiba, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make Allah may fuck you fi deen for the companions. All that gave him understanding of the religion. Why? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the importance of ittiba. He knew the importance of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah azza wa jal says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa akmaltu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum Islam deena. Islam is not like any other religion, brothers. Islam has two characteristics which no other religion has. Number one, it is a religion which is complete. Allah azza wa jal says, akmaltu. I have completed this religion. Allah has completed this religion. Number two, it is perfect. It's complete and it's perfect. It's perfect in every single way. It's so perfect. There's no need to add anything in and there's no need to take anything out. Do you think you're going to be legislators alongside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then you're going to make up your own deen as you go along? وَمَنْ يَبْتَ لِغَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. The only religion Allah will accept of me is Al-Islam. Is Al-Islam. Allah has chosen Al-Islam as what? As a favor upon us with us. So it's not permissible for any of us to add into this religion or take out of it. So Islam is perfect in every way and is complete in every way. There's no need to add or take away and there's no need to increase the beauty of Islam by doing things as we go along, thinking we're doing something good. No, brothers. When something is perfect, it's perfect. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was perfect, the method he gave to us was perfect. The Sahaba around him acted upon the deen, and this is a way of perfection for us. Just like this, we have to make it ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa'adha, he was coming to the masjid one day, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving a khutbah. And he said to the people, Ijlisu, Ijlisu, sit down. Fajalasa ibn Mas'udin ala bab al-masjid. Ibn Mas'ud had not yet entered the masjid. He sat outside the masjid at the door. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why are you sitting? He said, I heard you say sick and I just sat wherever I was. This is ittiba, brothers. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa'adha, hadith of Sahih Muslim. He's addressing the black stone, Hajr al-Aswad. He says, by Allah, I know you don't benefit and harm. It is Allah only that benefits and harms. But if I had not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kiss you, I would never kiss you. This is ittiba, brother. This is what we call following. He didn't say, I'm going to do it because the Prophet didn't say, don't do it. He didn't invent his own Sharia. This is a big illness amongst the people today. Ya Akhi, where did he say, don't do it? Ya Akhi. Allah said, follow that which has been revealed. وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not speak from his own desires. He spoke through revelation. He told you, do this, stop there. وَلَا تَكْتُمَ عَلَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ إِلْمٍ. Stop where the knowledge stops. What's knowledge? What Allah said, what the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what the Sahaba said. So this man, he wants to go beyond that. And he wants to say, where did he say, don't do it? So we're going to deal with this point, inshallah. So look at what Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said. He said, if I had not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kiss you, I would never kiss you. This is what ittiba is. So when you go against ittiba, and you start making your own things up in the deen, most of the time, you will fall into a concept known as bid'ah, innovation. SubhanAllah, I didn't realize the time goes so quickly when you're giving the khutbah, the time is going quickly, so I'm going to try to shorten this inshallah. What is bid'ah? What is bid'ah? You will hear the brothers in this masjid, in your community, say, ya akhi, don't do this, this is bid'ah. So the people that make a joke about this, oh, you people are Wahhabi, you people are this, always talking about bid'ah. Ya akhi, every single khutbah Rasulullah will say, kullu bid'atin dalala. Every bid'ah is a misguidance. Wa kullu dalalatin finnar. And every misguidance will take you where? To the hellfire. One of them said to me in Birmingham, he said, ya Shaykh, this word kullu doesn't mean everything. Some bid'ahs are good. I said, is that right? I said, if you understand by this word kullu, not everything, then what did Rasulullah mean when he said, and every misguidance is in the hellfire? Is there some misguidance which is good also? Ibn Kathir says this. Kullu bid'atin dalala. Brothers, memorize this. Every bid'ah is bad, just like that. Every misguidance is a bad and it will in the fire. There's no good, there's no dalala to hasana, is there? There's no good dalala, is there? Good misguidance. Just like this, there's no good bid'ah, brothers. Every bid'ah is bad. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa rad. Anybody who introduces something, bid'ah is to introduce something. Badi'u samawati wal ard. Bid'ah is based upon, ghayr misal thabik. You do something which wasn't done before. You do something, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bid'ah min al-Rusul. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't a bid'ah. There were messengers before him, and just like this, he was also a messenger. Allah is the originator. There's no originator before him. So bid'ah is to do something for which there's no example prior to it. We understand that the Islam is complete and is perfect. So now he does bid'ah. What does he do? This is the month of Rabiul Awwal. And in our community, generally, in the month of Rabiul Awwal, they do something called the Mawlidul Nabi, the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet's birthday. Ya Akhi, what do you know about the Prophet? What do you know about his seerah? What do you know about his lineage? What do you know about his characteristics? What do you know about his khuluq? What do you know about his ta'aleem? What do you know about his worship? What do you know about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? All I know is, he says, all I know is that now they put Christmas lights in their windows. When it comes to the Prophet's birthday, they put Christmas lights in their windows. مَنْ تَشَبَّهْ بِكَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. You are imitating the people, you will be from amongst them. So this bit that we have seen with our eyes, brothers, develop. We have seen this bit that develop over time. It started off by them saying, we're just going to pray to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the second stage was, we're going to all meet in the city centers and we're going to invite people to Islam through this. Then the third stage was, we're now going to have flags outside of our house. Then the fourth stage was, they put a picture of a sandal that they claim is a sandal of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a picture. They call it the na'lin, outside of the house. Then, now they put Christmas lights outside of the house and they light candles just like the Christians do. This is what bid'ah is. Sheikh Salah Fawzan, Hafizahullah, said a tremendous point of benefit. He said, as far as bid'ah is concerned, innovation into the deen, he said, it's like an example that we give, that every large fire which destroys only begins with a small spark. Bid'ah will come and consume your deen, brothers, you won't even realize it. May Allah bless our ulama. This is a reality, brothers. We have to be careful of bid'ah. So bid'ah is to introduce something into the deen, and through this hadith we understand three principles. Number one, ihdath. It's something which is new. Number two, idafa. Fi amrina. It's something which is in the religion. It's new in the religion. They say, ya akhi, you wear night trainers. Abu, ya akhi, that's not part of the deen. Ya akhi, you travel on virgin trains. Ya akhi, that's not part of the deen. Ya akhi, you use a ladder. Ya akhi, that's not part of the deen. The bid'ah is something which is part of the deen. Don't get fooled by these misconceptions. Yeah? That like you're doing something in the dunya, therefore it's a bid'ah. Ya akhi, you travel on the airplane. Why do you travel on the airplane? This is bid'ah. Stop. You haven't even understood the definition of bid'ah. Man ahdatha fi amrina. Whoever introduced something new into this religion. So number one is an invention. Number two is in the religion. Number three, adam dalil al-shari. That there's no evidence for it. not in a general sense or a specific sense. Ma laysa minhu, there's no evidence for it. Wallahi, brothers, do you think that if the Mawlidun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a sunnah, why is it then they say we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ya Akhi, you are going to love Rasulullah more than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who got beaten outside of the Kaaba to defend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're going to defend and you're going to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than Umar al-Faruq, Uthman ibn Nurayn, Ali al-Muqtada, Raziallahu anhu majma'in. You're going to defend and you're going to love Rasulullah more than they did? How many examples can we give about the love of the Sahaba for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? These are people that Urwa ibn Mas'ud narrates, they would catch the droplets of water that fell from the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his wudu. They would catch the spit and the saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They, the wife of one of the companions, old lady, mother, she would collect the sweat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the companions said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me your clothing. I'm going to use it as a shroud for when I die. Hadith say Bukhari. Ya Akhi, you love the Rasul more than they did? None of the companions celebrated the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet himself didn't celebrate it. He came in his life at least 62 times. Never celebrated it once. The Sahaba never celebrated it. Remember, we understand the deen the way the Sahaba understood. The Khulafa Rashidin never celebrated it when they were the Khulafa. Sunnah alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-Khulafa Rashidin. Ummahdiyin, addu alayha bin nawajid. For you to follow my sunnah, the sunnah of the Khulafa Rashidin. Nobody done this. Who done this bid'ah? A ruler almost 650 years after the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the leaders of Irbil in Iraq, Muzaffar Shah Qubri. Yes. Ibn Hajar said, he says, we'll gather the people and we will feed them, just like many of the brothers do today. And then he said, we will sing the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they said that we will now do this once a year on the Rabiul Awal when the Prophet was born. This is how Milad al-Nabi or Mawlid al-Nabi began with this. 600 and something years after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are you going to say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah? When he's going to say, my Ummah, they will say, Ya Allah, you don't know what they've done after you. What are you going to say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? With what face are you going to look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We have the Sahaba on one hand that said, Fida ummi wa abi ya Rasulullah. My mom and my dad be sacrificed for you. Brothers, my father passed away a few weeks ago. And for those of us whose parents have passed away, or family loved ones, Allah bless all of them, inshallah. Those of us who are alive, yani alive of the heart at least, inshallah. May Allah bless all of us, inshallah. Brother, what's the stark reality? We're going to die. I know, and my father lived a long life, 80 something years old. I know how difficult it is for me. I have my own children, alhamdulillah, that my father's done. Can you imagine, brothers? You're on a battlefield, and it's a battle of brother. And your son is on the other side and you're with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And your son is saying to you, Dad, stay away from me, stay away from me. Because I don't want to fight you. And the son, the father says, by Allah, if you come in front of me, I will chop your head off for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, do you think loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so easy for these people? They gave up everything. They gave up everything. And you're saying you love the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than they did? How is that even possible? So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa rad. The one who puts something into this religion which is not a part of it will have it rejected. Hadith is Sahih Muslim. So we ask, is your Mawlid al-Nabi part of the religion? Yes or no? Yes. Do you do it as a part of worship? Yes or no? Well, of course you do. You do it to get close to Allah. Stop. We know the definition of worship. لِكُلِّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَدْرَى. It's something that Allah loves and is pleased with. Ya Akhi, Allah, He does not love, nor is He pleased with your Mawlid al-Nabi. If Allah loved your Mawlid al-Nabi and was pleased with it and was made to be part of worship, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have been the first one to do Mawlid al-Nabi. Then Abu Bakr would have followed him. Ali would have followed him. Umar, Uthman and all the companions would have followed him. Nobody did Mawlid al-Nabi. They say, Ya Akhi, this hadith is about Aqidah only. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا is don't make a new aqidah. Don't start believing in two gods. Don't believe in the Prophet Muhammad. don't believe that, you know, like this. Don't believe there's a book after the Quran. This hadith is talking about that. You're using it about Mawlidi Ali. Say stop, stop. They say this hadith is not about actions. It's not about actions. They say it's about aqidah. Of course, actions are part of aqidah, but that's a different issue for another khutbah, inshallah. So what do we say to them? Stop. Look at what our mother Aisha said, radiallahu ta'ala. Hadith is a Muslim again. She said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahu rad." Whoever does an action which is not from the actions of Rasulullah will have it rejected. Whoever does an action which is not from the actions of Rasulullah will have it rejected. So now where do you go? Where's your bid'ah done now? Your bid'ah is finished. The Rasul didn't do it, the Sahaba didn't do it. In fact, the Rasul warned against bid'ah. And I've already told you, brothers, and I've discussed with you, brothers, the concept of good bid'ah, bad bid'ah. It doesn't exist like this. Every bid'ah in the deen, in some of the evidences broadly, which are bought concerning the Mawlid al-Nabi, I'll just discuss one or two, inshallah, because of time doesn't permit that at all, to be honest. They say there's a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, ya akhi. So ya akhi, you haven't read Sahih al-Bukhari. What's the hadith? They said that when Abu Lahab passed away, someone had a dream. Someone had a dream. Who is it? We don't know yet. Someone had a dream that the one finger of Abu Lahab has water gushing out of it, and this is giving mercy, this is giving sukoon and sakina, and this is giving like a blessing for Abu Lahab. And they say this is in Bukhari. And then they add in something which is not part of the hadith. They say this is a finger with which Abu Lahab released his slave girl Thawaba or Thawbia when Rasulullah was born. This is a big trick that they play with you, brothers. Number one, that the finger being pointed because of the day that the Prophet was born is not part of the hadith. But they've added this in, no problem. But what does the Quran say? Ma adna anhu maluhu ma kasadab. Abu Lahab's mal, his wealth, nothing will benefit him. What does the Quran say? لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيْهَبَتَنْ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That, if you do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're talking about Abu Lahab, brothers. Look, to prove their mawlid, they had to go to Abu Lahab. No Abu Bakr, no Umar, no Uthman, no Ali, no Talha, no Zubair. The only person they could find is Abu Lahab, subhanAllah. This is how futile the arguments of Ahlul Bid'ah are. They had to go to Abu Lahab. And they said that Abu Lahab is benefiting. This is a complete and utter fabrication for us. It's a complete and utter fabrication. Allah says in the Quran that Abu Lahab will his mal, his wealth, and what he done won't benefit him. Allah has told us a qaida in the Quran. That if you do shirk, Allah will make your deeds rendered null and void. And he's saying this is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they're saying Abu Lahab benefits because of the Mawlid. Okay, ya Ahi. Abu Lahab passed away in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this must have been a good action because Abu Lahab is getting respite from being punished. So why did the Rasul not do it? Why did the Sahaba not do it? Do you know more than the Sahaba? Two principles. Alamu or Jahalu. Did they know or were they ignorant of it? Did the Sahaba know this or were they ignorant of it? As Shaykh Osman ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, did they know or were they ignorant of it? If you say they knew about the Mawlid, why did they not act upon it? If you're saying they were ignorant about the Mawlid, well, this proves in itself that this is a bid'ah, because the deen is complete and perfect, and we don't need to add into it. The deen is complete and perfect, and we do not need to add into it. This is one of the evidences that they bring. They bring another evidence from the Quran. فَرِحِينَ بِمَا أَعْتَاهَ اللَّهُ. Be happy and joyous at the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And one of the biggest bounties is Rasulullah ﷺ, they say. They say, ya akhi, why shouldn't we be happy? Because Allah told us to be happy at the blessings, and the Rasul is a blessing. Ya akhi, we understand the Quran and the Sunnah the way the Sahaba understood it. Was this ayah revealed on you or the Prophet? The Prophet. Did the Sahaba understand this ayah to be like this? No. So why are you giving it this interpretation? You are like a Shia who says it's okay to beat myself with stones and rocks and knives in Muharram. And he uses the ayah, لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ جَهْرَ بِسُوءٍ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمَ. That is not permissible for you to protest in openness except for when you've been oppressed. And they martyred Hussein in Karbala, therefore we're oppressed, therefore we're going to pick our son 1400 years later. Ya Akhi, where is this understanding from? The Sahaba didn't do this, the Rasul didn't do this, the Tabi'in didn't do this, the Atba Tabi'in didn't do this. It's all made of hocus pocus like this, they're just making it up as they go along. So this ayah was revealed on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They did not understand this ayah like this. Why you, did they know about this ayah? Yes. Did they act only like this? No. Khalas. The bidah is finished. Bidah is of two types, brothers. We haven't got time to go through it, but I'll mention very quickly. One is bidah hakiki and one is bidah idafiya. One is bidah in its essence. It has absolutely no foundation in the deen. For example, doing ibadah through dancing or through music. This has no basis whatsoever. But then be careful of the second type of bidah, which is a bidah which has some foundation in the deen. But what do? They changed the gate, they changed the qam, they changed the zaman, they changed the makan, they changed the jinn, they changed the sabab of the ibadah. What does this mean, brothers? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to sacrifice the baqara, the goat, the sheep. So today a person says, the hukum of sacrificing is established in the deen, but I'm going to sacrifice a fish. Yeah. Where are you going? Kaleelam ma tatakkarun. They don't understand. What's happening with you, brothers? No, you can't do this. This is bid'ah. This is bid'ah, which is bid'ah idafiya. The makan, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make tawaf of the Kaaba. That is restricted, that worship around the Kaaba. He says, no. I'm going to make tawaf around my masjid in Pakistan or Somalia or Bangladesh. Yeah, this is bid'ah in the deen. And probably more than that, to be honest. The zaman, the timing. If the Rasul and Allah stipulated the time, you stick to the time. The qam, the units. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed 3 rakats for Maghrib. If you say, well, I'm going to pray 4, this is bid'ah. You change the frequency of the thing. The kayf, the how the ibadah was done. The Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Salah would praise Allah Azza wa Jal individually. Today, in a group, you get together, you say, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, like they do in some masajid. May Allah guide us all, inshallah. Wallahi, ladies and brothers, we want good for others. Like we want good for ourselves. And we don't want to be from amongst the people. And we fear when we stand here and speak to you, brothers. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ. You're telling all these people, but look at yourself. I know what I am. So I fear for myself when I speak to you, brothers. And I'm saying this message from the heart, brothers, that we want good for our brothers. Pass this message on from the Jummah to your families, brothers. That stay away from bid'ah. Stay away from bid'ah. The Rasul will make zikr after salah. So today people get together, they make a dua ijtimaiyah, they make dua collectively. The Imam raises his hands and everybody raises his hands. Yeah, why are you doing this? This is bid'ah. But the Prophet used to make zikr after salah. Yeah, but you change the howness, you change the method. You used to make it individually, you're doing it together, this becomes bid'ah. So maybe inshallah in the future we can have bi'ithnillahi ta'ala alayhi a short talk or a course on the importance of sunnah and bid'ah. And this is something which our youth need. I was speaking with my brother on the way down here, and I was saying that the problem with the youth today, one of the problems is that we've gone far away from the deen. And instead it's very easy for the brothers, because it's so attractive, lights and people are eating and drinking and having a good time. This is a lot more easier than sitting with the Shaykh and reading Kitab al-Tawheed or reading Tafsir al-Quran. This is halat, they say. So Shaitan attracts them to these bidahs. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us all, inshallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect our youth, inshallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us from bidah. May Allah Azza wa Jal make our end upon La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us understand the deen the way the Sahaba understood it. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive those who are alive and those who have passed away. May Allah Azza wa Jal fill all of us today with graves and graves of paradise, inshallah. May Allah Azza wa Jal rectify our youth and rectify our ummah. May Allah Azza wa Jal stop us from the sasbah, from the means which will lead us to bid'ah and shirk.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een, Ihdina الصirat al-mustaqeem, صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تذكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارك مصفوفة وضرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم الله أكبر